people. This is Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis on for another day of broadcast insolence.
Happy Monday.
Thank you.
Very disappointed that the curling team that we mentioned before, after winning their Olympic gold, did not get upgraded on their flight home. Seems wrong. Just seems wrong. It's a huge social media campaign to try to get them upgraded, but the airline said there wasn't enough space. So,
curling,
sorry, guys.
Can you tell us again what that is?
If you guys didn't watch it, you missed.
And sweeping, right?
You missed out. It was There's so much strategy involved. I was riveted. I was so
riveted.
Did
you stay up till 4 a.m. Saturday or into Sunday morning to see the team win gold?
Pretty close. Pretty close.
Wow.
I was following the early part, too, when just earlier this week. Every time the U.S. men were on, and the U.S. women, too, by the way, I was watching. The Simpsons accurately predicted, by the way, that Team USA would beat Sweden in curling in the gold medal match, just like they are able to predict so many other things.
Did they predict it in 1990, like they predicted everything else? 2010. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Episode Boy Meets Curl.
There you go. It's all documented there. Simpsons predicts everything in the future.
Wow.
It's an awesome story, but curling's totally becoming like a hipster sport.
Yeah.
Like millennials are so into it now, and they go drinking and go out. Yeah,
I Googled it during the curling I was watching to say, hey, where can you play this here locally? And I thought there were only like three spots. The curling club of Chicago is in Northbrook, and there were a couple other
locations.
There's
a curling bar on,
Ogden, right?
Like 15 seconds from your home.
Where?
Yeah.
On Randolph.
Randolph? What? Really? Where? Curling bar?
Yes. There's a curling bar. There's a bar that you go to. What's it called?
I'm going. You guys, let's go as a
something
team.
Something Tiger something.
Kaiser Tiger.
Kaiser Tiger.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I got to go there.
And it's it is literally like downstairs from your apartment.
Okay,
I'm going. That's how close you are.
I'm going to be in the next curling team for the U.S. Women's Olympics.
And all these bars now have pop-up curling. You know, they'll build the little
ice. Oh, you don't want pop-up curling. That's cheating, isn't it?
Right. It's only like half the length. But it's a hipster thing.
I could see that. I could totally see that because it's actually less active than ping pong if you do it in a certain way.
It's like playing bags in the summer.
Yeah.
You throw a bag and you take a sip of beer. You throw a bag, you take a sip of beer.
Why don't they put that in the Olympics?
It should
you really
be
want to do? You want to do something that America's going to win every time?
It's the same thing as curling. It's just
especially
a little bit different.
SEC school graduates.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Don't go play bags.
Where they call it cornhole?
Yeah.
In Nebraska.
Well, in Ohio, they call it cornhole.
But how would you...
Without irony.
How would you do the sweeping, though, if you have a beer in your hand? Don't you need both hands to sweep?
No. Not if you don't sweep well.
No. They get the one hand... You sweep with your right hand, or, you know, whatever your dominant hand is, mm-hmm. right? And then you get down into that position, that sort of, you know, where one skate in front, and then
no,
the other
one's
kind of...
No, but that's the guy who lets it go.
Yeah.
That's the lead guy.
Yeah,
then,
but that guy
can
drink. He's the most important guy.
Hmm. So you don't want to be a sweeper, in other words.
Right. The sweeper has to put the sweeper has to drink in between...
Sweeping?
The sweeping. What do you call the thing that goes down there? The kettle or something? What do they call that?
It looks like a weight.
Say,
I don't know.
I see. You want to join the team. We have to learn this stuff.
I got a
curling
lot to
rock,
learn.
Right?
It's the rock?
Throwing rock.
It's the rock.
Okay.
Duh. Throw that rock.
Just slinging rocks out here.
But the U.S. men were yelling strategy out to each other throughout the sweeping, which made it more intense.
Like what?
Like, no, you're going to want to do this. I want to do this. And like before they went in, they said, you're going to want to try to knock that one and then knock the other guy. Get them both out. And he's like, no, you know the risk in that. It's really, really hard to do that. That's a bad idea. And then boom, sure enough, the guy with the stash from Wisconsin and the beer belly, he did it.
Again. Stash and beer belly. You don't see a ton of that.
Right. Adam Hogue's a diehard curler, and he was giving me some lingo today. Like, stacking brooms is what they call it. Stacking brooms means you're drinking. Like, you want to go stack some brooms and throw some rocks? That's curling lingo.
That's the only... All right, so if you have a mustache like that, that gigantic, like, 70s porn stash, and a beer belly...
I thought it was, like, Wisconsin tavern stash.
Reason you should be in the Olympics is if you are a gymnastics coach. That is the only reason, if you have that mustache and that gut. That's it.
Hey, he's looking pretty good now with the medal around his neck and trying to fly home getting upgrades, but it didn't work out.
I saw a funny video on the, you know, on the Instagrams, on the Twitters. I don't know where I saw it exactly, but it was a Roomba and a Swiffer. And it's like the curling got me like, and the Roomba's going through the house and you're trying to Swiffer in front of it. It's pretty.
That's great. So you can do it at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Activity.
Give it a shot.
The house.
Again, can you do the downhill skiing at home? I don't think so. Can you do the ice dancing at home? I don't think so.
Can you pull a quad off the high jump?
By the way, how do they even know it's a quad? I watch those people jump up and they go, oh, triple. Wait. Oh, it was only a triple, it wasn't a quad. And then, like, how do you know that?
And then even in slow motion, like, as you can see here, he's clearly pulling off the quad. I'm like, I don't know. What? What is this? Is he sure that's four spins?
I don't think it is. And then it's almost worse in the, like, the snowboarding, mm-hmm. you know, when they're, you know, like the big air or whatever. They go, oh, yeah.
Right, they call it out as it's happening in live speed. And I'm like, even in slow motion, I can't make out what they're doing.
I know. And I'm just hoping they land on their feet.
And they have to, and everything like, has to be dividable by 360, which I'm not sure how they do, or 180, I suppose. Oh, that was a 10-10. You're like, no, it's not. I don't even know what that is.
I didn't either.
You got a calculator out?
It should be 1080 anyway, not 10-10. Well, shouldn't it? And then I'm doing the math. I'm going, all right, now 1080. All right, mm-hmm. so it'd be 900. Wait, now the 360.
And you just missed the next three people that went.
Right. In my head, that's all I can think. This is the one thing. There's too much. This is the problem with the Winter Olympics. Mm-hmm. It looks cold. There's too much math. Mm-hmm. And then there's things. And then this is the thing. I mentioned this last week about the snowboarding. At least I appreciate that your top score is 100. I get that.
Yeah, that's easy.
No. Right?
Sure.
When your top score is 5.8 in one of these other things, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, just missed it by a tenth. And you're like, a tenth of what? What is he talking about?
I liked the snow broding instead of snowboarding term that many were using during the Olympics.
Bro.
There you go.
Dude. America did really well in like the X Games type sports.
Yeah.
A lot of medals there.
Yeah. They did not have a particularly great, although the White House, I thought the White House was going to break bad on them today because, you know, I was thinking that will be our next step toward third worldism mm-hmm. when the potentate dictator type stuff, when you threaten to kill the Olympic team when they come back and they didn't do well because I thought that was going to be a thing. But then Sarah Huckabee Sanders, like, we're very proud of our American athletes and everything they did. They had a great Winter Olympics.
Fourth mm-hmm. in medals, but one of the fewest medal count for the Americans in a long, long time.
I promise you that somehow before this week is over, it's going to slip out of the president's mouth that this is Obama's fault.
They trained under him.
Swear to God, it's going to happen.
By the way, not a curling rock. Did we correct that? It's a stone. Several listeners have corrected us. It's a stone. So in case you're playing, you want to sound like you know what you're talking about, you say stone.
I like kettle. It looks like a kettle.
It does.
Like a tea kettle.
I mean, did you just make that up yourself? You're like, yeah, I heard kettle.
That works.
Pour me another kettle while I'm watching this.
Right, a kettle. Kettle?
Let's go sling some kettle.
A kettle on ice, please. See what I did there?
That's exactly what it is.
Strong. All right. Right now, let's find out from Judy what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the WGN newsroom. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN. Ben Bradley is joining us right now from the WGN TV CLTV newsroom.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Ben.
Happy Monday.
You can see this on the CLTV if you are so inclined.
It's a wonderful viewing experience, I can assure you.
Don't you like the way Ro did his hair today? I think it looks nice.
I tell you
nice.
What, is that a new product? Is that a gel, a mousse? What is that, Ro?
It's a thing. I had a haircut.
You got extra volume on the top today.
Do I? Yeah. I didn't even not notice that.
Full of volume.
They may have done something to me over at the Windy City Live. Sometimes, you know, it's like you go in for a minor procedure over there when you do the makeup.
You come out.
And they put, like, the thing over your nose, and you breathe deeply three times, sir, and then I wake up, and I'm something totally different.
What kind of product are they working with over there on the hair?
they use action? Val's hair product on you, Ro? Because I think that's maybe
a little
spiky.
You think it's a little spiky?
It looks like crazy glue because it's stuck straight up.
Is it really? Hold on.
The front. No, maybe it's not.
I need a haircut. Can you sneak me in over there tomorrow?
Yeah, I could probably work that out. You know, the guy who cuts my hair, though, is like, it's like I'm going to, like, the, I can't even describe the circumstance. Mm. I go in, and when I leave, it's like they hand me, like I've purchased a car. Like they're working through the paperwork with me afterwards.
Inspection,
And then they go through the whole thing, and they're like, all right, now you're going to need financing for this haircut, aren't you? All right, here's what you're going to do.
Before he retired, Mr. Sapelsa took me over to his barber downtown, who's also
the Equitable Building?
It's in the Hyatt Regency there. Kind of in the Pedway, and he also cuts Grant DePorter's hair, who you know, ding ding, and
Harry Carey's.
A bunch of federal judges used to do Harry Carey's, and Sapelsa has given me this whole pitch. I'm like, you know, like five of the guys Sapelsa mentioned who get their haircut there are dead, and I'm like,
oh gosh,
I don't know if that's the best sales pitch.
This guy's been doing it a long time though.
Oh, he's a wonderful guy, yeah. Frank.
So
yes.
It's kind of fun being and part of the experience, is that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he tells jokes that are like, Frank, I'm pretty sure you couldn't have said that 20 years ago, let alone today.
Yeah. It's 2018, Frank.
And so then he, of course, turns to all the, you know, ladies who are working there and goes, hey, do you find this offensive?
Uh-oh. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. Hey, Rob Johnson, Channel 2. Thanks for watching.
I do that, too. All right, so... Hey, you're the Rob Johnson from Channel 2. I gotta go. All right, what are you? What's coming up? You got let's talk about O'Hare. Can we do that first?
Yes,
you got to be you doing that?
Yep,
on
we
your,
are doing
on
that.
Your news?
Our Sean Lewis covering that.
All right, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. They are redoing O'Hare Airport. It looks like this deal is going to get done because they needed American and United to sign on for it. They are. And it is kind of true when you and I love O'Hare because it's home, you know. It's sort of like
sure.
And you know you're used to it. You got it's so other people around the world complain about it, but hey, it's ours.
Yeah,
right.
It's ours and we love it.
I think it's better when you look at LAX or Newark or Kennedy. It's still an easier airport to navigate, assuming you're only
depending
you know, on one airline, one flight.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to have to connect between airlines.
But we don't there because it's terminal for us. But people who have to connect always complain about it, especially international connection.
Oh, it's terrible.
Because you got to get over to Terminal 5 and all that. Yeah. So what they're going to do, and I think this is absolutely ingenious, they're taking Terminal 2, the lost terminal.
Mm-hmm.
And they're
what flies in and out of there again?
Well, Delta now. Okay. But they're moving Delta over to Terminal 5. They're going to redo Terminal 5.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to make Terminal 2 the new international gateway for all of the code share partners of American and United. So it's in between those two.
Makes sense.
And then they're gonna make extensions of the American and the United terminals. The Spurs or something they're calling them, right?
Satellite concourses.
Satellite concourses.
Think of United's C concourse, how you have to go underground to get to that. You're going to have to do a little bit more of that to reach those new outer satellite concourses.
Right. Or run like hell in between the, underneath the planes.
How many
as they're
times have we run that, right? I mean, you just think about running that particular place in the airport.
With the neon lighting?
Yes, and it's like supposed to be so soothing and everything, and it's
bling,
just...
Bling, bling, bling.
You're like, I gotta get out of here, I gotta go.
Hey,
you're
you know, I looked up today when United's Terminal 1 was built, because I was shocked that it's this old. Guess what year that opened.
All right, I'm gonna do this right now. I'm gonna guess it's 1984.
Anna?
77.
1987.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's held up pretty well, I'd say.
Bing, bing,
I mean, other than all
bing.
The leaks.
Yeah, there was a
other
problem
than
with that.
The water that comes in when it's raining out.
Oh, it's a design flaw.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, who paid for that?
Yeah, speaking of who paid for it, this it's the $6 billion improvement. What's the deal on that?
$8 billion improvement. The money all comes from the passenger facility charge, which is essentially the tax, the fee that they tack on to every single ticket. They say that it's not going to go up. But this is a long project, a lot of concrete, a lot of moving parts. But at this point, the early plan,
a lot of nephews who need a job. Unveiled. I know how the city operates.
Yeah, it hasn't even been unveiled. $8.5 billion plan. They say it's going to increase space at O'Hare by about 72%. Right now, there's 185 or so gates. They're going to go up to 220 gates in the next 8 years. And they've been busting at the seams there for years.
Yeah.
And the argument, United and American, who are the big tenants there, actually didn't want for a long time to add gates because that would give more opportunities for competitors to come in and fly. And for a long time, before they untangled the runways, there wasn't the capacity to do more takeoffs and landings. They have it.
Good, right. Now they've added all these parallel runways so you don't have to wait for a plane to cross your runway before you take off on it and all that.
Which
that
seemed kind of dangerous, didn't it?
But that's the old school way of doing it because planes were a lot tough. Planes didn't have good tolerance for crosswinds, you know, back when they had propellers on them. So that was an issue. The now with computer guidance and all that, it's easy. You press a button and the thing lands. The issue that is, to me, fascinating is they're moving Delta over to Terminal 5, and they're going to put the Delta code share internationals over there.
Right. When you think about Delta's partners that fly in and out of here, you've got KLM, you've got a bunch of the international carriers. That's going to make their hub-and-spoke system a lot better because Delta's not a huge carrier here in Chicago, but they've got the international carriers that they'd like to feed in. And so if you put them all out in Terminal 5, they can kind of operate by themselves. Because as you
said,
this
will also encourage Delta to move toward more hubbing here than spoking here.
Yep.
And the which is part a little bit of this play, kind of gives them their own little little airport closer to down. You know, it's a little closer, a little less congestion. You're taking out about a half a mile of congestion if you come out of Terminal 5 on the car. Here's the other piece that I think is kind of interesting. It turns out that Chicago O'Hare is still, I think, now number 3 in terms of passengers moving through. But with the problem that we're having is that it's almost all regional traffic. It's all small jet traffic that is that's keeping those numbers up. We're the largest small jet airport in the country. And the real revenue comes from international.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you want the international big planes coming in. And so they're addressing that. I think it's overdue. It's time, and it's about time to freshen the whole thing up. Because you go to like Dallas, there are parts of Dallas in that airport they've been redoing it for years. Mm-hmm. So much better, nice.
But boy, is it going to be a tough couple of years there? Because as you point out, whether it's LAX, which is undergoing it right now, it is not fun.
No. To
go through there. You know, one other point, we're going to get into this on the news this evening in Sean Lewis's reporting. For people who fly, for aviation enthusiasts like us, we're kind of excited for an airport revamp. But it was several years ago, I think under Mayor Daley, that he was able to kind of, I don't want to say buy off, but get the support of some of those suburbs that for years had fought runway expansion, O'Hare Airport expansion in general, with a promise of Western access, a Western terminal down the road. This is a huge expansion that doesn't address some of those needs.
If you read the fine print,
they say
it's coming in the next phase. We haven't paid for it at this point, but it's coming in the next phase.
That's phase tree. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Bensonville, hold on. You're going to get
a lot more air traffic over It's going to be a lot more air traffic over many of those suburbs.
Elk Grove Village,
and that's a huge issue.
Let's not talk about that right now. But that's sad news. And by the way, when Donald Trump's personal pilot heads the FAA, this stuff's all going to be fine. He's going to take care of all of it. That is true, by the way. If you're just you think I'm just being a smartass, that is not fake news. He wants his personal pilot to head the FAA.
Yes, he does.
A multi-billion-dollar organization.
Budget, and he wants his son-in-law to get a security clearance, even though he can't get one.
Just to be able to see Middle East peace.
Yeah. Okay.
Which will be done first, Middle East peace or the O'Hare Airport expansion?
Yeah.
or Jared will get a security clearance.
None of the above, Alex. Thank you, Ben. We'll see you tonight. WGN TV, when do you start? You start at 4.
I'm just at 4 this week, except for Thursday when I'm on all of them, but you don't really care.
I don't know. Oh. You're right about
Thanks
that.
Thanks for looking ahead.
All right. thank you very much, Ben. We've got Judy Pylak with the WGN News coming your way in 2. From Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. I often fear greatly going out to Washington and trying to figure out what's going on. But I trust Amber Phillips is going to be gentle with us, as she often is. I'm a gigantic fan of her work.
Me too.
Great writer and one of the only sane people I've heard on television explaining all of this.
And it's safer to stay here in Chicago and not have to go near all the chaos.
In theory, but I don't know if that's true. All right, Amber, let's deal with the breaking nature of things, as we often have to do. Today in the White House briefing, Sarah Sanders was asked about the security clearance of Jared Kushner. And the White House, at least in those briefings, defers to this notion that they never discuss security clearances. On its face, is not actually accurate. They have, on a number of occasions, discussed them, especially as they complained about people without security clearances having access to things in previous administrations. But in this particular case, Jared Kushner becomes the highlight. Do we have any sense about Jared Kushner having or not having his security clearance? And can the president just say, hey, it doesn't matter?
You're absolutely right that the White House has been quite contradictory on what they're going to do in the fallout of a scandal of, course, a top aide who didn't have security clearance and had domestic abuse allegations in his past, being able to handle a bunch of documents that were very secretive and be in front of the president all the time. And that has sort of shone a light on a couple other people in the Trump administration, like the president's son-in-law and top advisor, Kushner, whose security clearances have been held up for various reasons. To answer your question, no, we don't have a clear sense of what's going to happen. The Justice Department has told White House officials as recently as 2 weeks ago that there are problems with his security clearance. He's had to go back and correct some of his meetings with foreign officials. And it's just, how long are we? A year into right. the administration, and he doesn't have a full security clearance, which suggests he might not ever. The White House is in a really tough position because not only is this an advisor, it's the president's son-in-law. So it's very hard to just say.
Who's in charge of Middle East peace?
Yes.
You mentioned things, exactly. Very important things. You'd be exposed to, I would think, things that are sort of secure in nature. You would potentially be.
Secretary of Everything, as they call him?
Yes.
I suppose, one might stop and wonder why it is he can't get a security clearance, but they're refusing to discuss it. The ironies here, and I know, listen, we can argue all day long and go back through history and figure out places where every administration has been hypocritical about something. Mm-hmm. But they have a gold medal, if I could just use the Olympic analogy here, they have a curling gold medal for hypocrisy.
Why do you have to bring the curlers into this?
Because the whole thing about lock her up was that Hillary wasn't being careful with securing important information and secret information.
Yeah.
Classified information. Mm-hmm. And that's that's the basis of the claim and here we are. I mean it's kind of ridiculous.
I think you bring up a good point. To answer the second question you had asked me, can Trump override the government basically and allow Kushner security clearance? Absolutely. But because of the reasons you just outlined, I think how tough he was on Hillary Clinton, the appearance of nepotism, he has deferred to the White House chief of staff. Mm-hmm. Trump has been known to change his mind, but I think that's one reason why the president hasn't just said, listen, I want Kushner by my side. I don't care what you think, government officials, which is something he's suggested he's been prone to do in the past for overriding the government on other issues.
Well, Amber, I don't know if you've ever seen all those mob movies. When the Sopranos used to say this all the time on HBO. He's going to do the right thing. They're going to do the right thing. So when last week the president was talking about John Kelly, yeah, I'm going to let John Kelly do it. He's going to do the right thing. That immediately says if you don't do the right thing, it's going to be bad. It's going to result in something awful.
Where did John Kelly go?
He's in the trunk of a car somewhere. To me, it just doesn't feel like it doesn't feel like it's the way it should be. All right, I want to ask you very quickly too about this decision this morning, mm-hmm. Where the Supreme Court is not going to at this point hear and fast track a decision on the constitutionality of DACA. And therefore, by not doing it, it has to wind its way through the courts, and that will extend the DACA protections past March 5th. Is that our understanding?
Yep, you got it. Basically, courts have put sort of preliminary injunctions on Trump's ability to end the program. Basically said, you know what? There might be something there to these largely Democratic challenges to how he ended the program. It's on a very technical term, but the judges have decided there's something there. The Trump administration tried basically Hail Mary to get the Supreme Court to intervene, and the Supreme Court really doesn't do that without some intermediate courts weighing in. They've only done it on stuff like Richard Nixon's tapes, like really pressing issues. Mm-hmm. But what it basically means is the deadline that Trump set in September, which challengers argue is arbitrary, March 5th, isn't really a deadline for people already in the program. So now the administration will have to keep accepting renewal applications, not new ones, but renewals. Mm-hmm. Eventually, the courts are going to decide one way or the other when this is all settled and done. If the courts don't decide with Dreamers, then Trump's decision still stands, that absent of him changing his mind or Congress coming to a deal, these Dreamers will lose their protections.
But isn't that the issue? That really, at the end of the day, we're all hoping that Congress will make a decision to un-DACA recipients and come to some sort of Jesus about what should be done in that case. This gives them a little more time because it does seem unrealistic by March 5th that decision would have been made.
Yeah, you're absolutely. It does give them a little more time. Some of the more cynical folks here in Washington would argue that's not a good thing for Congress, that Congress really only acts when it is right up against the deadline. And politically, if it doesn't act, it's going to both sides are going to fall off a cliff. But there are still lawmakers in Washington talking behind closed doors, trying to come up with some kind of deal.
I think it's also interesting that the Democratic memo, the response to the Republican memo that was going to be earth-shattering and change the way we look at the world and we look at Democrats and there's going to be mass arrests or whatever they were saying about it a couple of weeks ago. The Democratic memo came out over the weekend, not to a whole lot of fanfare. It was, of course, released by the House committee, which is run by Republicans. But it was immediately decried by the president as a whole bunch of nothing. And more fake news. And he went after Adam Schiff, the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, and calling him a lot of things, a leaker and a bad guy and things like that. But the memo is pretty specific that the chief complaint of the Republicans in the Republican memo was that they went to the FISA court and didn't tell the FISA court that they were that the Steele dossier was a political document that was paid for by Democrats and that they the whole reason that they were able to get an overhear warrant on this poor great American Carter Page was that they had been misleading the FISA court, and it turns out that Democratic memo gives lie to all of that, that they did tell them that there was a political a political payment for this dossier, and they didn't rely solely on the dossier to get the warrant. So it takes the Republican argument totally off the table. Yet it is it's released and sort of buried on a Saturday.
Right. And I got to work on that Saturday night. We were expecting it to release Monday. But you're absolutely right, Ro. You hit the two big points exactly right. That the Democrats tried to argue, look, we looked at this FISA warrant, which is one of the most secret documents in U.S. government, and we think the FBI did properly advise the court of any political origins of this document, of the dossier. And we also don't think the dossier was as big a part of it as Republicans say it was. The problem here is this is interpretation based off a secret document that very few people have seen. And so we are left to believe one side or the other. And usually this day and age, it's whatever fits with our political viewpoints, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But they didn't specifically mention the DNC or Clinton campaign in the FISA court.
No.
They didn't call that out. They mentioned in more of a elusive term, sort of a political organization.
Yeah, but the other thing that is clear, too, is that Michael Steele had not. That's not Michael Steele. No, Michael Steele's in the news for
keep
a different
him out
reason.
Of it.
Christopher Steele was not actually the was not informed of who was paying for it. Right. Because that's if you want to get good research back, you don't tell the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that seems to be the case. So, all right. Well, however this plays out, that to me is a tempest in a teapot compared to everything else that is happening here. But again, I mean, if it's all right to have your son-in-law get no security clearance and have access to everything that you want. I mean, all of a sudden, Huma Abedin looks like they're handing it off to J. Edgar Hoover. I mean, I don't understand this at all. But okay, thank God you have to do this all day long and drive yourself nuts with it, Amber. Mm-hmm. I only drive myself nuts with it 20 hours out of the day. You get the other four. All right, thank you.
Thanks,
appreciate
Amber.
It.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Amber Phillips, Washington Post.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Steele, by the way, we'll talk about that coming up in
just
a little
news.
Bit. Yes, he is in the news. And it's not so much that he is in the news. He got attacked at CPAC.
Oh, boy. Wow.
God. All right. Michael. We'll tell that story. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour in the WGN newsroom? It's the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Look who's here.
Look,
Tom
who's
Skilling.
Here.
Hello, guys.
We should have done the show outside today, Ro.
You get a gold star, Tom Skilling.
Yeah, you do.
Well, gold star.
You. Thank you. It is nice, isn't it?
A plus.
Boy, we look forward to this. This makes all the suffering up to this point worthwhile, doesn't
nah,
it?
Not really.
It's a lot of it.
No, but it's good, though.
It is.
It's a turning point.
I noticed yesterday
mm-hmm.
when I looked out into the, about this time of day, I looked out into the... Mm-hmm. My yard area.
Yes.
And
the patio.
My pad. It's a pad. I live in the middle of a city in concrete. I mm-hmm. call it a yard because that's what we do.
You got a nice spot there. It's a very nice space you have.
So I'm looking out into the patio and I'm seeing I see some green down there. I'm mm-hmm. seeing some things, you know, evergreen sort of stuff, and the sun. Because, you know, here we are sort of about the 1st of March, a couple mm-hmm. days away from that.
Yeah.
The sun is at an angle which would be sort of a middle, early middle October.
Right.
Would be mm-hmm. the similar angle.
It's a good way to put it, yeah.
And
yeah.
So I'm looking out there and I'm thinking, does this feel like a football Sunday to me in terms of the light?
Yeah.
And it did. And that early fall, the kind of football Sundays, those are nice before.
Yeah.
So where I feel as though, based on where the sun is in the sky,
mm-hmm.
that we're about as close as we're going to get to calling the spring. I declare it spring.
And so we get like pummeled again. I mean, I don't know. It's always possible, right? It's only February.
Well, and speaking of that, there's a system on Wednesday night, Thursday. We're going to have to watch because, you know, what happens with these late season systems is they can sometimes generate their own cold air, and they'll be surrounded on either side of them by relatively mild temperatures. But you get one of these jet streaks to come, and a batch of strong winds lifts the air. That creates dynamic cooling, and you take the cold rain over to wet snow. And that may happen in parts of the area on Thursday. But tomorrow, we're going up to 63.
Woo!
And it looks like about 57 at O'Hare on Wednesday. But some areas may get up to 60 away from the lake on Wednesday. So that's pretty nice.
That's awesome.
This is the 8th consecutive day we're above normal. And... only 2 days left in February. Then we go into meteorological spring.
Yeah,
so.
Meteorological spring.
No,
meteorological spring.
Reason for celebration.
That, because sometimes it really doesn't really feel like spring all the time.
I know.
The problem.
Well, you know, we're in that volatile season now, so it can bounce around. But the trend line is there.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, so
yeah.
as you say, Rob.
Why would you take it away? You want to wait till the 21st of March or whatever that is?
I don't, but I can't really call it spring because you know how cold March has been in the past. It's like, oh, it's spring.
It's spring.
In name only.
It is a it is a mindset, Anna.
Oh,
it
sorry.
Is not an actual reality. Sometimes we just have to think about things. We have to think about and make our it's
imagine
aspirational.
Things.
It's
oh.
and we're aspiring towards spring, and by it being March and not February or January.
Uh-huh.
Do you see January? That's winter.
You can't aspire.
Right there,
you
right?
can't aspire in January.
December to me, well, that's Christmas. I just give that a pass. But January, now that's just winter. There's nothing good about January. And February, well, it's getting a little brighter outside.
Yeah.
It's still, you know, you got Valentine's
True.
Day. That's kind of nice.
No, that's how it tricks you. February is mm-hmm. the worst because you're close to spring, and the next thing you know, you blink and there's a foot of snow on.
I know,
the
and if
but it goes away fast.
That's
you know,
true.
In fairness. So that,
just a but nasty month.
It's true.
It's
tell you what, let's
month.
All hold hands and we'll go down
yeah.
Rokon's imaginary lane, you know? Although,
oh, God.
You know, though, actually, though, there is, Ro's right. There's psychology involved in this. And I like what you're saying, Ro. And I think there's reason to be hopeful. But it'd be crazy in late February to write off, the threat of some more chilly days and snow. We all know that. As long as we have that reality check somewhere in the back of our mind, let's go down and take advantage of these beautiful days. It is gorgeous
it
today.
It is. So pretty out there.
Do you know what's in it? This is, tomorrow will be our third 60-degree day if we verify that forecast.
Of the year?
Of the month. And we've had, last February, we had 7 60-degree or higher days. There were even 2 days of 70s last February. But last February was like something, you know, out of a dream world because we had a trace of snow for the whole month. It was the least snowy February on the books around here. So that was like atmospheric never-never land that we went through last February.
Imagine if we all held hands and imagined it. We could have maybe gotten there this year, Ro.
Absolutely.
We weren't doing it enough.
No,
see?
I
think we are now.
Little positive thinking.
Summer. You know, you in the fall, you told us about this
flip-flopping La Nina
winter kind of conditions that we're going to have, right?
Yes.
And you very accurately, as you are known for, predicted that this was going to be the kind of winter that we've had, and it's panned out like that. And now we are just a couple months away from, and it's, I like to look at it this way, we're 3 months away from summer
right
now.
Right.
That's help. That does help.
That actually does help.
So, so at 3 months away from summer, is there any prognostication about what kind of a summer we're going to have?
You know, at this point, I haven't really looked at it carefully to tell you the truth.
Right, so what are you doing? What are you doing with your time?
Well, you know, I deal with the situation at hand here. That's, you know, we've had record flooding in parts of the area. We've had, some rather volatile weather, so it's kept me hopping here.
Yeah.
But I've got to, that's a good point, Ro. We've got to look at that. And
Is there accuracy to that? I mean, obviously we knew about the La Nina pattern.
Summer season forecasts are trickier than our winter season forecasts because your weather systems are smaller scale. You get thunderstorm outflows that are thrown in there that can throw off the big, big pattern. And so your read on summer is a little more tenuous than on winter in many cases. Also, things like La Nina and El Nino affect cold season weather more than they do warm season. So we have some of these indicators that give us pretty loud signals for the cold season, but they're a little more tenuous, these indicators for summer. But you know what? I found a great deal of success in running analogs. In other words, looking at what the pattern has been and what's happened after this sort of pattern in the past. So let me get to work on that.
Okay.
Rich Koneman, one of our guys, my stats guy, spent 10 years when he was working at the Weather Service committing the entire climatological database to computer. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing what you learn by running what's happened in the past and seeing what's happened after it, you know?
Yep.
And so it gives you a good idea. Every time we see a La Nina coming, you can go through, plug in the La Nina years and see what it's done in the past. Gives you an idea of what's coming up. Let's find out what this is going to be in between. It's called an ENSO neutral summer coming up.
ENSO neutral.
Yeah. And we'll see what they've produced.
ENSO neutral.
ENSO neutral.
I'm going to use that.
Yes. I just bought some sweatpants.
Yeah. Well, the ENSO.
I think they're opening up on Michigan Avenue.
That's the cycle along the equator that goes back and forth between El Nino, which is the warm phase of the water down there west of South America, and La Nina, what we've been in this past winter, which is the cold phase. And each associates themselves with certain kinds of weather up here. So sometimes you get a read on what the pattern will be up here, looking at things like that. But there are a lot of other patterns that intersect with this, which is what makes it so tricky on a seasonal basis.
Tom, can I ask you about something I saw? It's something I've been dying to talk to you about since I saw it this morning. I was seeing the North Pole, the weather station up there, has already risen above freezing, even though they've been in darkness,
amazing.
And that it's sort of been a very shocking event to see something like that.
Well, you know, there are changes underway in the Arctic, which are extraordinary. You're right. Last week, Anna, the temperatures up there were running about 37 degrees above normal. They've had these warm spells up there that are not, typical. But the Arctic region is warming twice as fast as the other places on the planet. We're seeing the sea ice, fade away. We're seeing snow cover diminish. It's the 11th consecutive year we've had less snow cover in North America than has been the norm. Mm-hmm. And so there are a lot of changes. And what's going on up there does affect what goes on down here. It fiddles with the jet stream, and therefore it has mid-latitude implications, which is where we live down here as well. Mm-hmm. But, that is interesting to see that.
Fascinating. Well, also troubling.
I've been watching. I just went to go see Black Panther over the weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm sort of in this whole Marvel world anyway. I like the.
I hear that's really
Defenders
good.
Defenders and stuff like that.
Did you agree with that?
Black Panther's really, really good. Yeah.
I got to see it.
It is. It's a really good story that you could see that they're going to build a big franchise.
A whole
around
series.
This, like they did Iron Man and stuff like that.
Right.
But. The whole idea here is that, there may be things happening in Earth that, like all of these superhero things are like Pacific Rim. There's stuff happening underneath the ocean or underneath a jungle canopy that we don't know about. Well, I think that's happening in the polar region.
You do?
I do. I think that there's something going on underneath there.
Uh-huh.
And it's like there's a
Better
whole...
investigate
like,
that.
Right, maybe. I also went to go see that Annihilation movie, which I suggest that you take... Prozac before you go to it.
I see.
It's weird. Yes. I got to tell you, it's a bit of a fever dream.
Hopefully you didn't go see both of them back to back.
I did.
Oh,
actually,
no.
Yeah, which was, woo, I got to tell you. So I'm in kind of that mood where I don't really exactly know what it is that I know anymore. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm as willing to believe this as I am to believe that Barack Obama is responsible for global warming. Is that true? No, there is no global warming. It's actually getting colder. Don't believe the fact that the polar ice cap
right.
is.
Yeah.
What is?
Melting.
I mean, that's this is a this is going to have effect. When are we going to see? I suppose the question here has been if with this melting that the water levels are going to rise.
Oh, there's amazing work. There's a book out now called The Water Will Come, Rising Seas, Sinking Cities, and the Change of the Civilization as We Know It. It's written by an environmental writer, and boy, that grabs your attention.
Well, levels rise in the Great Lakes, too.
Well, you know, we're driven here more by precipitation. The sea levels on the coastal areas are driven by the Arctic ice.
Okay.
And we're losing, huge amounts.
But that won't, push its way down the St. Lawrence Seaway?
No, because if you looked at the Great Lakes from the side, each lake is lower than the one next to it. So, in other words, the water starts high up in Lake Superior, drops down a level down into Superior and Huron, drops another level down to Ontario and Erie.
Well, as the topography flattens.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. So there's a downhill trend. We sit 600 plus feet above sea level here in Chicago, whereas New York is right down, just
at
30
sea
feet above sea
yeah.
level or at it.
So we got 600 feet to worry
yeah.
to work with.
So in other words, the water from the ocean isn't going to back up the St. Lawrence and come up here. The gravity is pulling it downhill from the Great
okay.
Lakes. So our Great Lakes water levels will be driven by precipitation cycles.
So we're
but the oceans
here.
Are going up. And for instance, it's likely the Florida Keys will be gone by the end of the century, and that's the expectation. And this book points out that if we get 6 feet of sea level rise, there could be $1 trillion worth of real estate, including Mar-a-Lago, by the way, that goes underwater in Florida.
I saw it was National Geographic, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember now. There's so many things coming on your phone. But they had they looked at now and 2100.
Yeah.
2100.
Yeah.
And they showed an aerial photo, essentially, a satellite shot.
Of what will
of
happen.
Of what it would look
now,
like.
You know,
and
the
New York is fascinating because New York would be like Venice. At least lower Manhattan would be like Venice.
Yes.
That there would be, you'd be navigating through, what is now World Trade One and all of that. On a gondola, essentially.
See, and what ultimately happens, there are different scenarios based upon how much we can get these gases under control. If we do nothing, then it's going to, it could take off. We could get 6 feet, even 10 feet of sea level rise. If something's done, then you can attenuate that. You can slow it down some. It will still rise, but it won't be as bad. But, if you got a 6 foot sea level rise, this book points out 1 in 8 homes in Florida would go underwater. And so it could be a monumental situation, and we have a mass migration away from the coastlines and everything else. So there, and you'd lose Cape Canaveral, the Norfolk Naval Station, you'd lose Miami, and the Basilica over in Venice might go underwater. I mean, it's pretty scary when you start. The Marshall and the Marshall Islands and the Maldives will go underwater, and they'll just disappear. So. Yeah, it's it's quite an interesting scenario.
Well, in the Keys, I mean, if people have ever been down to the Keys, you can walk out up to your hip.
Yeah.
In some parts of the Keys, mm-hmm. a mile.
Yes.
It's that shallow in that area. I mean, you
sure.
can see where the Keys, at some point, how they emerged or how they have submerged. And
yes.
That's what we're heading toward. Now, in a place like Manhattan, though, one would imagine that they're going to build seawalls.
Well, there's been talk about an $8 billion, $10 billion wall. Mm-hmm. So they've got plans like that they've got on the drawing boards. The thing is, this stuff gets really expensive. So, and you've got to plan for this ahead of time. But, look what they've done over.
There's a hole in the dike. Remember this? I remember this, the mm-hmm. kid with the hole in the dike in the Netherlands, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the thing. It's if you, or the levees in New Orleans.
They've created, and look at New Orleans. I mean, a lot of New Orleans is below sea level. It was, you know, the fact that one of those walls ruptured that allowed the water in Katrina.
Yeah.
And so, but, you know, there's a big spread in the New York Times last week about what's going to happen down in Louisiana and how this bayou country and all the rest, what happens with that will be critical to these little towns down in Louisiana.
Yeah, don't bring this up with your grandpa St. Patrick's Day. That's my suggestion, though, because yeah. that'll never go well. He's still mad at Shepard Smith. Hey, can I ask you yes. the name of the book again? Because people are calling and asking us.
Oh, yeah. It's called The Water Will Come. And wow. the author is Jeff Goodell, G-O-O-D-E-L-L. Okay. Quite interesting. He's an environmental writer, and it's an interesting book. It came out in the last 2 months.
He's not related to that Roger Goodell, because we're mad
Hopefully
at him,
not.
Too.
Oh,
don't bring
no,
him up to Grandpa either.
Think so.
He's mad at him.
yeah.
Don't bring him up to Jerry Jones.
yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No.
All right. Thank you so much, Tom.
Well,
appreciate
guys,
it.
See you later.
See you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. Let's check in now with Judy Pilek to find out what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the WGN newsroom.
It's a battle in Brooklyn as the Bulls square off against the Nets. Bulls-Nets tonight at 6:30 on WGN TV Sports.
Number of things that we have to get straight here after Judy's news at the bottom of the hour. First of all, we'll find out. I did not receive a phone call on Saturday night into Sunday morning concerning our own Violetta Podomatic and her birthday
Phew.
Celebration.
I bet you're sweating that out a little bit.
I just turned my phone off.
No,
that's what I did.
That's not right.
I had
was worried
to.
About her.
Yeah. You're the second call, so they can't get a hold of me.
Well, you know she's not calling her parents if she's in trouble.
Right. Exactly.
Scenario like that.
How was Concrete Dallas Cowboy?
Don't wait. Hold on.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Save it. We'll do this on the other side. She's here though.
It was good.
And awfully quiet today.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm fine. I'm just 26. Mm-hmm. You had to act accordingly.
Oh. Are you upset about it? I'm
very
so old.
Mature.
I'm so over the hill. And I have a few thoughts about our friend Michael Steele and how he got mugged at CPAC over the weekend.
Ugly.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that as well. But first, Judy Pilek stands by. She's got WGN News coming in 2 minutes. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN.
Look, our baby made it home from her 26th birthday party this weekend.
I was up all night worrying, waiting for the door to open.
Or you just get a call or something. You expect some trouble.
Yeah, you know, I was out late, not going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to lie.
Your Saturday night party with your squad,
yeah,
as the kids like to say.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
You say late, but did it end up being early Sunday?
It was. I was shocked. So at first, I was worried that my plans actually didn't. I was kind of like going to stay in. I was.
What?
Yeah, I wasn't really feeling it for some reason.
26 for you.
Coming.
Your body aches.
My back hurts. I'm a little tired.
A documentary was on. I was going to watch
Murder, She Wrote is on. I'm going to watch that instead.
Put on Fox News.
But then I got hungry, so I'm like, okay, whatever, let's go out and eat.
Okay.
So I went out
your
to
squad.
Eat.
But you still gotta doll yourself up if you're going out with those girls, right? I mean,
that
aren't
takes
they all
a while,
gonna
kinda isn't it?
That, right,
I mean, isn't
and
that
was
the whole point.
That was a determining factor, though. Did I want to get dressed and go out? Plus, I thought it was going to be a lot warmer out, so I was going to be okay with wearing the dress I wanted to wear.
Less is more. In that
yeah, but
case.
Then I had to just wear really high boots, so it was fine.
Uh-huh.
The warm, I stayed
mm-hmm.
warm.
Uh-huh.
Then we went out to eat. And it wasn't all of us. It was just me and one girlfriend. Can you believe that? Yeah. So then, though,
everybody else was like, you are a loser because you
don't. No, everybody else was like, I'm not starting at 8 o'clock. I'm going to start at like 11:30. We're
right.
going until 3
started
or 4.
Early. That was.
What did you eat?
We went to Siena on
nice.
Kinsey over there.
Mm-hmm.
We just had some appetizers, some hamachi, some bruschetta.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember anything else. We had some dirty martinis, so blue cheese olives. And then from
blue
there. We didn't. Oh, and my memory's already going. This guy came up to me and he's like, "Oh, hey, da, da, da." I'm like, "Hi!" And apparently, he knew me. I have no idea how I know him. I don't know his name, but he was very important to the story because he got us in actually later that night to Concrete Cowboy, and I still don't know his name. So, whoever you are, thank you. From what I can remember, I think somehow we were connected through my sorority and fraternity. I'm not too sure.
Okay.
Anyway,
would you like to plug them too while you're at it?
Yeah. What's that? Phi Sigma Sigma? UIC Flames?
Fear the flame.
Mm-hmm. Fear the flame. Okay, go ahead.
So then what happened? Then we went.
Oh, this is going to be. And I can't tell if she's now changing the story because she's not
skipping
sure who's listening.
Big portions of the evening.
Or she truly can't remember, which gives you a little indication of her age and what's happened.
There's
here.
A lot going on here.
Yeah.
So then we went to Bodega, just down the street from Siena. That was fun. Had a couple drinks, some good music playing. Then we went to Concrete Cowboy. I'm calling it Concrete Cowboy because Kevin keeps saying that. Concrete
Isn't that
Cowboy.
It?
No, it's Concrete Cowboy, just boy. No girl. It was raining, though, so that was really annoying. I had to wear my scarf around my hair so I didn't mess that up.
Oh, the worst, yeah.
Everyone else was there. We met up with them.
All your friends
there.
And the rest of your squad.
Yeah. It was so late. I don't even know what we did there for that long.
What time would you say you arrived?
Until 4 in the morning.
I'm like the arresting officer. Wait, you arrived at 4 o'clock in the morning?
No, I arrived there at like, I don't know, 1?
1, all right. So 3 hours. Wow. Well, that 3 hours goes fast. You know, that 1 to 4 a.m., that's a blink right there.
Yeah. It was really
hard to
crazy.
Tell.
Next thing you know, the sun's coming up, birds are chirping. You're like, oh, dear God.
So actually, we didn't stop there, though. Then we got hungry.
Oh,
so on our way, what we thought was going to be home, we decided to go to McDonald's. Now, the McDonald's on Ohio over there, you know, is closed for construction. So we couldn't go on our way to the highway, so we had to go to the one on State Street. We pull up, and the drive-thru is closed. So I'm like, all right, just wait here. I'm going to go inside.
Devastating.
Go inside. It smells like syrup. I'm like, no, wait a second. You don't have cheeseburgers? No, they're already on the breakfast menu.
The breakfast line, yeah.
Are you kidding me? Who wants to eat an Egg McMuffin when they're leaving the club on Saturday night? No one. You need a cheeseburger.
Classic dilemma, leaving the club. McDonald's hasn't transitioned to the proper meal.
These are big problems.
So, obviously, we left there. Then I tried getting into Dublin's.
Oh, no.
Dublin's is closed. Wait. The crew's outside already. They go, no, 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 honey.
And I'm like, what time is it at this point?
I don't know. Like
5.
4:30.
Does anyone have a 5 a.m. license?
Yes, so then we went to Tempo. Oh, no, not 5 a.m. to drink.
Well, I knew you were going to go to Tempo, because Tempo's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Exactly, exactly. So we went to Tempo. I had a cheeseburger there, which was very good. Thank you guys for the hospitality. And then...
This reminds me of my 26-year-old kind of thing.
It was a lot of fun kind of going out. And then now at this point, the sun was coming up.
You end up at Tempo.
That's true. I remember ending up there, too.
End up at Tempo, and whatever you're eating is delicious,
and it's
starting to balance out your blood sugar crisis that's going on, and your liver and your kidneys and everybody else will go, thank you! I don't care if it's got cholesterol, thank you!
Good and greasy.
Yeah, and then you go home, and then you sleep, but then it's that wake up at like 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You only have a couple hours of daylight left, and your head hurts, and you just can't quite figure out what to do. You have a little bit of a hangover? Because now it's going to start. 26 is when it starts.
Yeah.
30, look out. The bottom falls out at 30.
I don't.
You're going to have to give up gin at 30. It just has to happen. It's an automatic.
I don't know if she's drinking gin already.
I had to give up tequila at 22, so.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. That's everybody.
But I had a couple on Saturday. Anyway, so then after that, I actually wasn't tired, if you can believe that.
Yeah.
I was not tired. So I stayed up actually probably really, really late. And then I didn't sleep. I only slept for like 3.5 hours. And my grandma wanted to go to Walmart. I was
at
like,
what time?
Oh, that is,
like,
that,
come
I
on.
Love
really?
Because that's karma right there.
Really?
You can't say no to your gram.
At like 9 or 10 in the morning.
Did she know what time you got home?
No. Well, she's like, I went to bed. No, she didn't know what time I got home.
You snuck in.
I didn't sneak in. It's just everyone was sleeping. I was probably really loud.
I can just imagine just imagine how quiet she is when she has to be, right? Little cat feet right there when she's coming in.
I'm in and out, really quiet.
Right, she comes in like on a she bungees in from above and finds a way. She's
No, you don't even hear me open the doors. Like, I'm very, very quiet.
Yeah, she's an assassin.
But do people make a nice fuss of you? And did you get birthday, wishes and whether candles?
Oh, I doubt she ever mentioned it was her birthday. Would she?
The whole point of going out.
You wouldn't have mentioned that. Did you mention
celebration?
There's actually a lot of club songs that have your birthday in it. Like, it's your
interesting.
Birthday. Yeah, so a lot of those were playing. And everyone knew.
Everyone knew. Because you went up and told the DJ that you needed that. Because they don't play that song every night in a club.
No, they don't.
No. I feel it. It's my birthday.
No, because it's like a, what is it, like a 20-year-old son? How old is that son? 15 like, years old? At least.
50 Cent when he right? was, yeah.
yeah.
Not 20, as old
he's
as me.
In his 40s
50 Cent
now.
Just recently
he
shot.
He just turned 50.
Yeah. Right, he did, didn't he?
I think so.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's sort of like, I mean, this could be 20 years ago now, that In the Club song.
I would think close to it.
Yeah.
And the celebration's not even over.
I know. I'm almost exhausted by my own birthday.
Yeah, that sounds
oh,
like
that's
a
too
lot.
Bad.
Wow, well, you guys have more, right?
No, we got
when
that
are we
thing.
Going out?
Yeah,
well, it's 2003, by the way, so like, yeah.
Yeah, 15
it's
15
years,
15 years ago.
Oh, gee.
Oh, all right.
Just a classic late night out with the
okay.
girls.
Okay, well, I'm glad that everything worked out at...
A concrete cowboy.
Concrete cow, girl, boy.
Woo! They don't have a mechanical bull there.
I was just going to ask that.
They
okay.
don't. I know. I've been looking for it.
Is it like a country club or
no,
not a country club? I mean like a country music club or
no,
a...
No, it's not even that.
I knew it was not a country club. I knew that part.
No golfing.
Hey,
no.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to put on a collar.
but I was actually shocked. You know, it is definitely a younger crowd.
Yeah.
Even I can even say that as a 26-year-old.
Like high schoolers with fake IDs?
Yeah,
no, it wasn't that bad. But... I was nervous, like you guys were saying, that I was going to have to buy people drinks and, you know, be like the older, mature person there.
Yeah.
But don't worry, that did not happen.
All right. Well, good. I'm glad we learned. Lucy, we learned now.
Yeah.
All right. Can we be done now with your birthday?
Is it, well, no, is it we can, because we still have the celebration with the group here. We haven't had that yet.
Don't worry. There's always one next year, too.
I mean, is that still happening, or are we just too tired? We're kind of done with it?
No.
Well, you came in. You kind of screwed up my plan here because Kevin got assigned back to Chicago. We thought he was going to come back next Monday. He came back over this weekend.
Mm-hmm. A welcoming surprise.
Yeah. And so now we're all in town, and then we were thinking we were going to do it on Thursday, but now Anna can't do it on Thursday, so I'm
seeing
an
event. But I've got an event that night. It's been on the calendar for
let's just do it next year.
All right.
There you go, Kev.
Sure.
Oh,
yep. Goodness. Yeah. All right. We'll get it in. Don't worry about it. All right. I want to give you my thoughts on what happened to our friend and colleague Michael Steele.
Oh, I thought you meant
over
on my
weekend.
Birthday.
No.
Okay.
Because I'm ticked. I'm now ticked mm-hmm. about this.
I think you have right to be.
And I don't know what's happened to my little America when this happens. And I want some semblance of sanity back. And I don't seem to be able to find it. But first, Judy tells us what's coming up at the top of the hour news. Yeah! We're getting to that season now.
The deck party season
yeah.
that we're never invited to deck
no.
party.
No, I've redone the whole area down there because, you know, we had that little incident in December.
Oh, right.
A broken pipe and mm-hmm. They're...
devastating.
They have... it's all fixed now and it's
ready
to go.
So you have something new to show us.
I do have some. I have a couple new things to show you.
Okay.
Yeah, patio life.
I got that thing, though.
Well, tomorrow will be good because it's going to be 63 degrees.
I'm cooking out tomorrow on my
little
patio.
Oh, for my birthday? That's so nice.
I can't do that. All right. Now, I want to... Can I play this? This is from... all right,
troubling.
They have that CPAC thing. I normally would not talk about this, but this is troubling.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's Conservative Political Action Convention that happens once a year. This one, I don't know if you've read over the weekend, it's endured a lot of introspection here mm-hmm. By the media because it was a little different. It was more about nationalism than it was about conservatism, and that freaked some people out. And this is the Ian Watson, who is the, Ian Walters. He is the spokesman for CPAC, and this is what he said about our friend and contributor, Michael Steele.
My wife, Karen, and I met at CPAC in 2009. It was the year Rush Limbaugh spoke, made a little bit of history. We were somewhat lost as a group. We had just elected the first African American president, and that was a big deal. And that was a hill that we got over, and it was something that we were all proud of. And we weren't sure what to do. And a little bit of cynicism, what do? This is a terrible thing. We elected Mike Steele to be the RNC chair because he's a black guy. That was the wrong thing to do.
Mm-hmm. That's what he said.
What do we do? We got to go get a black guy.
Grab this guy. Yeah. A guy who, by the way, has been with the party for 41 years and a variety of roles. And
right. Lieutenant governor of Maryland.
Yes.
A lawyer. A conservative... A social conservative since day one of his life, essentially. I mean, he was in the seminary to become a Jesuit priest, and then he decided he was going to live a lay life and went to law school and did all these things.
Extremely accomplished.
Been an incredibly accomplished guy, and that's what he did. And now Walters has gone on to say he's sorry to Michael Steele. It's apparently not. We'll talk to Michael Steele a little bit later on this week.
Mm-hmm.
We're heading down the wrong road here, people. We are heading down the wrong road. It's time for us to address this course. We'll talk about it. Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
The Black Sox got rid of the two local guys. They traded them, and I'm not happy about it. They got the Dingles and the...
Wingles.
The Wingles. The Wingles.
Dingles is a bakery.
And the Hartman.
Wingles
I
is
love
a...
Dingles Bakery. Yeah, that's maybe what I was thinking of.
That's a different
Hartman
thing.
Hartman and Wingles, yeah. Right?
Hartman and Wingles. Yep.
Hartman from Dundee and Wingles from Evanston.
This is just... It is what it
sign
is.
Sign of the times for the Hawks
it's
right
just
now.
Just what happens, I guess.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Are you? It's.
That's
I,
true.
I'm not. I don't know what to do about this. It's. It seems highly unlikely they'll make the playoffs. They're close to elimination.
Yeah. Yeah. There's 19 games to go. They're in last in the Central.
How many games back? From a playoff berth.
Double digits.
Yeah.
They can pull it up, but it's they. It'd be a minor miracle if they can pull it off over the last 19 games, but they're not mathematically eliminated yet. So.
This is an unusual circumstance.
Yes, there were sellers today. When was the last time we saw that? Normally, at the deadline, they're acquiring a piece here, a piece there, mm-hmm. to help the supplement the Stanley Cup run. That's what we've become accustomed to over the last decade. But whole different story this season.
Hmm.
All right.
Not good.
Still, with Stan, we can.
That's true.
And we'll work this out. We'll work it out. All right.
11 points out of 8.
Okay, 11 points out, 19 games
That's
to go.
That's to get to Calgary. Calgary has 73, Hawks have 62. And they would have to jump four teams.
Okay.
It's the top five on the Rokon Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, we'll do that. Checking in at
number five.
Yesterday, Fire and Fury author Michael Wolff.
Yep.
Appeared via satellite from London on the Today Show in Melbourne, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
The anchor, Ben Fordham, asked Wolff about his comment that he's absolutely sure, that Wolff is absolutely sure that the president is currently having an affair. Remember he told it to Bill Maher?
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Sure.
That's when Wolf's audio conveniently was like, hey, I can't
hear
anything.
Just last week, however, you backflipped and said, I quote, I do not know if the president is having an affair. Do you owe the president and the first lady an apology, Mr. Wolff?
I can't hear you.
Just last month, you said you were absolutely sure that the president was having an affair. And now you say that he is not.
I'm not getting anything.
You're not hearing me, Mr. Wolff.
No, I'm not getting anything.
We were hearing each other well just before.
I like how he timed it out perfectly when he said, you're not hearing anything. No, I'm not hearing anything.
Classic maneuver.
What? And then they checked the audio and everything seemed to be working just perfectly.
Yes, here's the IFB feed, as it's known. Interruptible feedback feed, that this is what would have been in Michael Wolff's ear.
You backflipped and said, I quote, I do not know if the president is having an affair. Do you owe the president and the first lady an apology, Mr. Wolff?
I can't hear you.
Last month you said you were absolutely sure that the president was having an affair.
I'm not getting anything.
Oh, geez.
He's not talking over him at all.
I know. He answers exactly when he pauses.
This is like, I don't recall. People are just going to start saying this. I can't hear you. I can't even
it's gonna
hear
be
you.
The new one.
I'm not getting anything.
No, the IFB
not
working.
Oh, we know you're not
working.
Getting it.
I'm not getting anything. And in Michael Wolff's mind, it's like, oh my God, how do I get out of here? I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. Oh my God, don't listen. Don't listen. I can't hear him. Tell him you can't hear him. Tell him you can't hear him.
Wow.
The problem here is that, you know, as a first time out, this is an important moment for people who have been in the White House covering, and to have a goof like Michael Wolff report all this stuff, some of which may be true, some of which is not true.
Mm-hmm.
It makes everything questioned. So it's like so when people go, wow, you can't believe anything this guy says, even though some of it turned out to be accurate. As a matter of fact, you know, he's got, which I think is pretty fascinating, you know, he had the Breitbart guy. How quickly I forget his name.
Bannon.
Bannon. He had Bannon on record as saying, you know, things that turned out to be true. And then Bannon, the other author that worked with Bannon, right, the one that the Josh Green guy,
mm-hmm.
he got Bannon to say that this was going to be a money laundering case. And it turns out it is a money laundering case against Paul Manafort.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are some things here, but this is Michael Wolff.
He's just slimy.
I can't hear you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You can't hear?
Go ahead, say I can't hear you. Go ahead, say I can't hear you. Say I can't hear you.
I can't hear you.
I can't hear you.
I mean, that takes some courage, though, to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I don't think so.
You have to commit.
Yeah, you have to commit. But it's cowardice is really what it is. All right.
Number four.
President Trump was at the nation's governors, was with the nation's governors at the White House today. He criticized that school resource officer who did not go inside the Stoneman Douglas High School. And apparently now there were others. There was not
three deputies.
Right. This one, but there were three others that, and now this officer has come out and said, listen, I thought that the shooter was outside. I was taking a barricade position, waiting for the shooter to come into my view. I don't know. I don't know what to believe in a situation like this. But the president has certainly tripled down on it.
They were listening to what was going on. The one in particular, he was early. Then you had three others that probably a similar deal a little bit later, but a similar kind of a thing. You know, I really believe you don't know until you test it. But I think I really believe I'd run in there even if I didn't have a weapon. And I think most of the people in this room would have done that, too, because I know most of you. But the way they performed was really a disgrace.
I'm just going to let that settle in.
Yeah.
Isn't the same person who had a doctor's note to not serve?
Dear United States government, please excuse my son, Donald Trump Sr., from serving in Vietnam, for he has bone spurs. Signed, Donald Trump Sr.'s doctors, even though he hasn't had a kid yet.
Still doesn't excuse, though. What happened with those deputies? I mean, still, don't you want to know why they didn't?
Well, this is the argument that they're using. But
I'm saying the president's side and his claims, you know, that he would have run in without a gun. Okay. But the deputies themselves who were positioned at that school.
Oh,
I think there
for
are
sure.
There's so many unanswered
sure.
questions
yes.
about that.
Yes. No question about that.
I mean, if you're a parent, do you accept that? Do you think that's okay?
No. But I think, additionally, this is goofy.
It is.
Beyond goofy.
It is.
I mean, that's this sort of thing. By the way, I can fly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know about this. I can fly. Now, it got weirder. Okay, so you think that that's embarrassing? But then, listen to this.
When the press covered it, the headline was, Trump wants all teachers to have guns. Trump wants teachers to have guns. I don't want teachers to have guns. I want highly trained people that have a natural talent, like hitting a baseball or hitting a golf ball or putting. How come some people always make the four-footer and some people under pressure can't even take their club back, right? Some people can't take their club back.
What?
I don't know.
Golfing, he's comparing.
Wait, natural born killers?
He's saying that. No, he's talking about whether like teachers. He needs teachers. The armed teachers should be the teachers who, you know, have a talent for using their guns.
Killing,
I guess you could
killing.
Make the argument natural born killers, but I think you have to look at law enforcement and military and stuff like that. Those are people who are, you know, trained to neutralize a threat. May be the same thing at the end of the day, but it is, I think, a nicer way of putting it. And I mean, why is he rolling a golf analogy? And by the way, I am perfect from 4 feet out. That's why
it's
I don't
what
even,
he knows.
I don't even take that putt. I'm so good at it. I always make them, so I just give that one to myself.
Mr. Automatic.
And those things you practice.
And you're talking, again, I want to stress that you are talking about this mass shooting that killed 17 kids. And he's comparing his pretty much publicly dismissed concept of arming the teachers at the schools. That's going to make him safe.
Yeah.
That he's trying, and he just can't let go of that, because he can't ever let go of something, because then he's giving up, then he loses, he thinks, in his own head. And he's comparing it to a putting stroke. I mean, there's no empathy here. Absolutely no empathy. All right. And I want to make one other point, because we ran out of time at the top of the hour to make this point, and I really want to make it, because I want to go back to this is all part of the same thing. This was at, we played this, the longer piece of this a few minutes ago, but at the Conservative Political Action Convention over the weekend, the spokesman for CPAC was up making his own speech.
Right.
And Ian Walters, and he said this.
We had just elected the first African-American president, and that was a big deal. And that was a hill that we got over, and it was something that we were all proud of, and we weren't sure what to do. And a little bit of cynicism, what do? This is a terrible thing. We elected Mike Steele to be the RNC chair because he's a black guy. That was the wrong thing to do.
Yeah.
There was that was emblematic of other things that were being said at CPAC this year about all kinds of things, including European socialism.
Mm-hmm.
So Wayne LaPierre say that we can't have any restrictions on our gun rights because we'd be just like European socialists. And then they had literally Marine Le Pen, who was there, who was leading a proto-fascist movement in France.
Great.
And they, you know, we're moving toward something here that is a little scary. And when you dismiss a guy like Michael Steele, who, you know, and I've known for a long time, is a very, very dear friend, and I have respect for him more than I have for just about any other politician I've ever known or person who's worked in this business in terms of his devotion to this, his smarts, his ability.
Yep.
He was the one who basically won the biggest landslide currently. We'll see what happens in 2018. But the biggest landslide in flipping scripts from Democrats to Republicans was in 2010, and he was running the RNC during that.
Well, and that's interesting you bring that up, because the RNC doubled down on this, and they did not invite him to the Trailblazer Luncheon celebrating the outstanding achievements of African-American Republican leaders.
Right.
However many of those there are.
Now,
he was not invited to that after these comments.
This is about, this whole idea, the spirit of this CPAC was about, let's be realistic about this. Let's talk about, this is the way things really are. Pragmatic realism, that we did it just because it was a black guy, we needed a black guy, is basically what they're saying. The idea here is this is what we're left with now in this era in human world and American history. We've given up on this idea of aspirational thinking, of inspirational politics, of saying we know that, you know, people at a very base level will, if they act instinctively, may do the wrong thing. They may want to crush somebody else. But in America, what we do is we try to take that instinct out, whether it is in real actions or in verbal actions or anything else, and we maintain a certain amount of diplomacy in our own actions, in our own culture, civility in our own nation. That's what we call for here. We don't, we decry people when they call other people names based on their ethnicity, right? Or their gender or whatever it happens to be. Even if you know in a locker room people are doing it, you know, in public society, we decry it because we would like to believe that we are actually living our better selves. I hate to get all Oprah with you here, but that's the thing. Because if you don't do it, then you do give the license to haters to hate, and it's okay, and they can do whatever they want. Which means if you decide that you don't want to have a people of a certain color do something, that's okay. They're probably not that good at it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not what America is, and we're tilting that way right now. We are letting our base instincts overrun us, And we have to get back to this aspirational, inspirational piece of America. Otherwise, we lose the whole idea. This is not what the founding fathers were thinking of. Although some of them had slaves. That's true. They were not, but the point is that this idea, the note, what they wrote was giving everybody a shot here. And that is not, and that's been the bright beaming light of America for centuries now. That is what has drawn people to us. That is what has drawn allies to us. That is what gave us our great prominence in the 20th century. And that's why people trust us to be able to help them fix their problems around the world. You know, well, that's not our problem. That's their problem. It's always our problem. This is a small planet now.
Yeah.
So I'd like a little more of that thinking.
And a little
then I got mine, you go get yours. And if you don't get yours, if you try to get mine, I'm going to shoot you in the head.
Many are calling for him to resign, by the way, the one who made those comments, the comms director for the RNC. Even conservatives.
All right. May I now speak to Judy first about what's happening at the top of the hour?
Why?
The bottom of the hour. All right, Top 5-5 continues. Stay close, though, because we got a lot more audio on the other half of the 5 o'clock hour that you're not going to want to miss, including some undercover audio that was just unearthed from an incident that happened this weekend in Chicago involving our own Violetta. All right, stay right here. You're going to not want to miss this. All right, checking in at
number three.
Heather Graham wrote, directed, and stars in her latest film, Half Magic, and the film deals with issues of sexism in Hollywood, a conversation that Graham believes people are now ready to have.
I think there's a huge shift. I think people are finally admitting what a big problem sexism is and how much it affects. You know, if you're talking about the movie business, that is a huge, important thing, because that's how, when little girls grow up, they watch movies, and that's how, what tells them how to think of themselves in the world. So if we have more female filmmakers telling more empowering stories, that affects everyone watching any kind of media.
All right, that is from a podcast that Richard Roper has up at WGNRadio.com. Exclusive interview with Heather Graham.
Very true. She came forward with her own Harvey Weinstein story. We all remember. She understands these matters.
Number two.
90th Annual Academy Award, chosen by Jimmy Kimmel, is just a week away. But no matter who wins, the Academy will, we hope, not feature the repeat of last year's screw-up, which, of course, saw La La Land accidentally named Best Picture over Moonlight.
Ruh-roh.
Yep. Jimmy Kimmel told ABC News' our own Paula Faris, right?
Yes.
Right here from Chicago.
Saw her report this morning.
About the mix-up.
I still don't know how it happened. I'm still not clear on how the wrong envelope got into Warren Beatty's hands.
Yeah.
Color coding might be a nice thing to think of this time around,
yeah.
But I'll be honest, it would be funny if it happened again. The biggest safeguard there is that this company, PricewaterhouseCoopers, will literally have to go out of business if they do it a second time. So I think they're going to be very, very careful.
I bet they will be. Double, triple, quadruple check those envelopes.
Yeah. Poor Mel Masuda, or whatever his name is, the guy that's always out there with a handcuff.
He's freaking out.
And his suitcase on him. It's weird. It's very weird. Briefcase, I suppose. Maybe a suitcase. All right. Checking in finally at
number one.
Oh, Omarosa. Poor Omarosa. That
so
woman.
So misunderstood.
Never, ever, ever. Nothing ever goes right for her. Voted off Big Brother last night.
Oh, I thought they'd keep her on because of all the, you know, the stuff she's been dishing.
Yeah, well, it was doo-doo. The finale. It was the last.
Oh,
she didn't win the thing.
She made it to the end. Okay.
Yeah, she made it. They had to keep her on. Are you kidding me?
That's what I was thinking. I thought for sure she's got to stay on. But
by her own admission, she's ratings gold.
Yes.
Right? Well,
she is.
She did have an opportunity to plug her tell-all book.
I'm thinking of writing a tell-all.
She's going to come after me with everything. Yes, like I'm going up against a gazillionaire, so I'll probably end up in court for the next two. But I have to tell my truth. I'm tired of being muted. All the stuff that I just put on a shelf somewhere out of loyalty, I've been defending somebody for so long. Now I'm like, yo, you are a special kind of f-up. And I'm about that special breed of, they're about to learn all about it.
I love their line when she's, I'm tired of being muted. Has
right.
Omarosa ever been muted?
We're tired of you not being muted is sort of the case here. All right, we have more Omarosa audio on the other side.
All right.
There's more of that. And then super secret Saturday night audio that has just now been revealed.
Ooh, juicy.
Yeah. We're gonna play that for you coming up in just a little bit. But
the top five at five.
Yeah, now, an hour ago, we told you about Violetta's Saturday night. She told you about Violetta's Saturday night. It was her birthday, mm-hmm. turned 26. It's a big deal.
Big night.
Big deal.
Long night, fun.
As it's the opposite of what Kevin would say.
Kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a big deal.
Yeah. And so you told us, you gave us some information. This, by the way, is like how Bob Mueller does his job, right? You testify, you tell us a bunch of things, but we already know the answer. Mm-hmm. To these questions when you're telling us. And then we get to tell you that you lied, and then you go, no, I didn't. And then we charge you again for lying to us. This is how this goes.
Okay. Yeah, when she's telling this story, all of a sudden you can hear in her head being like, okay, let's go left
she's
instead
editing.
Of right here. Yeah.
Editing.
Right. Let's erase that part.
Mm-hmm. My favorite is how Kevin goes all Bob Mueller on him because he kind of gets the whole game, you know, and he's like, you know, this is an opportunity as a sibling to kind of go after her really hard in front of the parents.
Exposure.
What time did you get to the next place?
Chirping or was the sun rising?
We actually have confirmation of the exact time that you got home. We were actually given full confirmation.
By who?
And we also happen to have a voicemail.
No.
Wait a second.
That you might have left.
First of all, back to the telling the story of what happened or mm-hmm. recounting my night. It's not that I chose to keep things out. I just didn't necessarily remember uh-huh. every detail uh-huh. of the evening.
Do you remember this?
Hi, Brenda. Thank you.
Weekend.
Wait, is that what I think she said?
B word, yes. It's my bitches.
All I made out was that part and Concrete Cowboy.
We have a transcript here. I'm going to present this as evidence.
Good. We need subtitles here.
Boris is here. It was my favorite moment. Say hi, Boris. Of course.
There's a guy named
there
Boris.
There was a guy named Boris.
Yeah. Sounds like trouble.
Oh, yeah. Boris was there.
Sir John
was also there.
Who was also there?
Sir John. Yeah.
Is it Sir John? Is he like a rapper? Or
no,
is it,
he's Serbian.
Is he knighted by the Queen of England?
Oh, my God.
No.
Boris Sir is John. Here! This is, by the way, it's exactly what they would say at the Trump campaign, too. Boris is here! Come on down! Uh-huh. He's got barrels of cash!
So is Sir John.
Get me Boris. Where is Boris?
What time did you get Moose and Squirrel?
So reference. I do actually, I don't remember leaving that voicemail, mm-hmm. but I was trying to get in contact with my sister. That's mm-hmm. who I was calling. Mm-hmm. And she didn't answer, so mm-hmm. I left a voicemail, which I can't believe, you know, at a club, you think you can leave a voicemail, but I did. Mm-hmm. And
it was very clear that it was hard to.
I didn't remember that the next day, but my sister had it, so she made me listen to it, and mm-hmm. we were dying laughing.
We're happy.
She never made it to the club, just so you know.
Yeah, I got the sense that she did not. Yeah.
Oh.
She was like, oh, yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Does anyone ever hear those types of voicemails and be like, I got to get there? I got to be there. Did you hear what she said?
Boris!
Boris is there.
Boris is here.
Come on, Boris.
But you want to see Boris, right?
Right. Boris, say hello. Hello!
Take me to Concrete Cowboy to see Boris now.
Yeah, if you're not really already in the game like that at that point, no you just like, sort of oh say,
I would like to, personally, right now, I'd like to apologize to Boris on behalf of the Rokan show for using his voice without his permission, but it was not, but it was, it was our own.
He didn't say anything.
Violetta. Was that, I thought that was a foreign language. What was that?
No, that was like bro talk. I don't even know.
Bro talk?
It was, you know, what when you're at a club and you tell someone excited. To say hi, I'm sure he thought it was like a Snapchat, Instagram, who knows what he thought it was.
See, that's why clubs I avoid. It's just people yelling, loud noises.
Oh my, how old are you?
28. 100? I remember when I was 26. So much energy, so much youth.
Boris, say hello!
Boris is also here! Boris, say hi!
Hey!
Oh, gosh. It just always sounds worse later, doesn't it? Let's be fair. Come on.
Yeah.
At the time.
Hey!
Oh, gee. That did sound bad.
I thought I sounded actually pretty professional, though, and put together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was very clear. I wasn't... I mean, until the end, I didn't use any profanity.
Hey!
Thanks, Boris, for that. Backing
That's like
me up.
The Budweiser What's Up commercials.
Yes,
hey!
It is. This is exact same mindset.
Okay.
Does your sister like Boris?
Yeah, I mean, they're friends.
Sure.
He was next to me when I was leaving the voicemail.
Is he happy about your sister being friends? Yes, he is. Yeah, there you go.
Boris, did you have fun at Concrete Cowboy?
That's how he answers everything. Hey, you want to hang out?
Does Boris speak English? I just want to make sure.
Yes, then, Boris speaks okay. English, and he has his papers.
Oh.
He's not trying to just whatever.
Yeah, by the way, that's going to be... that's going to be very crucial over the next few years, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's going to end up at Gary Airport on his way back to somewhere he doesn't know where he's never been before.
Triple check those papers.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
He's got his papers.
That's how they introduce everyone. This is Boris. Yeah.
He's got his papers.
Legal.
This is Sir
You're
John.
Legally.
He's in the act of getting his papers.
Yeah. Not yet.
He's eligible, ladies.
Although, it would be much easier for him to get his papers if he were married, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's a great pickup line.
Yeah.
Marriage material.
I tell you what, we get married now. We get divorced in 2 weeks. Don't worry. We got the one interview. Is everything okay?
Except hopefully he says more at that.
That's not the best sales pitch for like the match.com. Hey, I'm Boris.
Oh my God.
All I need right now is to get married and everything is okay. No one gets hurt.
You find all the best girls at the clubs.
That's true. And so if you want to find your future wife, always meet her at
definitely
a club.
Definitely marriage material over there.
Yeah, that's what goes on. All right. Well, that went very particularly
good old
well.
Boris.
I wonder what time that voicemail came in.
I think we have an answer. We do know what time you came in.
Well,
we have an exact time.
I told you.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
What time did you tell us?
Well, I didn't give. I don't know the specific time.
Yeah, you remember what time you gave us, do you? What time do you recall now? What time you?
Yeah, what time was it?
At 4 the club. Then I went to eat.
Yeah, what would you? See, what would you guess?
I dropped off some friends.
Yeah, did you drop off Boris?
Apparently, he got home.
Boris, keep it down.
See, this is how the Bob Mueller investigation goes. You ask the same question over and over, and sometimes you get a different answer.
What time would you say you came in?
I'd say roughly 5:15.
Dear God.
We have sworn testimony that says you arrived at 7 a.m.
That's pushing it.
7 a.m.
I don't think it's pushing it. I believe that we actually have...
No, we have confirmation on that.
What time would you say you left that voicemail?
2:30.
2:41. Oh, yes. Very good recall.
Good guess.
Ding, ding.
Well,
there she goes.
Done.
She got one correct. Yeah. Okay.
And was Boris there?
Well, we know Boris's whereabouts at 2:41. That's the one thing we know for sure. We have no idea that.
We randomly were losing him throughout the night.
Yeah.
But he kept coming back.
You just hear him yelling and you can track him down in an alley somewhere.
Boris! Boris! There he is!
Hard to lose.
Take a left. There he is.
Okay. All right.
It was a good time. Thanks to Boris for coming out.
Yeah, I want to thank Boris for coming out because Boris made this whole bit. Congratulations, Boris. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Appreciate all your help.
Happy birthday, Violetta.
And congratulations on your papers. All right. Judy Pilek has the WGN News at the top of the hour. What's coming up?
Well, if you can text, you can vote in Indiana. We'll have that coming up from the WGN Newsroom, except for you, because you are obviously not a citizen.
I think he is. Oh, my God.
When you say papers, though, you mean, you know, I mean, there's a difference here.
Oh, gosh.
Really?
I know Boris
what is
through.
The difference?
I know Boris through Anna, so Anna's going to get mad at me if Boris doesn't have papers. You know, you never know what you're going to get when you go out with Serbians.
He's getting dragged out of the country.
Oh, gosh. They're kicking in his door. ICE agents. Get down! Get down!
Oh, gosh. ICE agents. You say that when you hang out with Serbians and they all just start sweating.
They kicked out his door.
We have the Boris who was on the Rokas show then in the Vontas at approximately 5:45 in the afternoon.
What kind of papers?
Why don't you make this noise so we can identify you by your voice?
Oh, gee. Poor guy. Let's see those papers.
Actually, you know who started following me on Instagram? Yugoslavia Chicago.
Oh, good.
I should be proud.
Boris right now is in an orange jumpsuit somewhere in a federal lockup.
How many poor Borises are dealing with this problem right now?
And every guy named Boris who is not properly documented right now is
sweep.
Immediately calling their immigration attorney.
Not me.
I want to give you a voice track to make sure you know I am not that Boris they're talking. Here is Violetta. Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes.
The trial of Violetta Powdermedic will continue coming up in just a few minutes.
Oh, I thought it was over.
Poor
but
Violetta.
We
more
have
more evidence.
New at 6 o'clock. We have new information coming in about your Saturday night that really will lead to charges and at least one deportation. But before we get to that, there's another trial that's going to be happening this week, which I think is very, very worthwhile. These are always very entertaining. Our own Anna DeVlantis has been involved in these for years. It's the National Hellenic Museum, which, by the way, I think it should be pointed out that the Hellenic Museum for the United States of America is right here in Chicago, in Greektown.
And it's stunning. I mean, it's just not only are the artifacts and the exhibits really amazing and educational and fun for people of all ages, but the outside and the building is just beautiful addition to Greektown. So we're proud of it.
And as a fundraiser every year, they take an ancient and important, whether it is an historic event or perhaps it is something that comes from mythology, they actually you have a trial,
right,
where you have attorneys, real attorneys, and real and esteemed judges from the Chicago area who come in and they take part in this. So it's a moot court kind of an idea, but it's always very, 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 very entertaining. And especially if you're like a legal junkie, as I am myself.
Well, it's something to behold because you have the best legal minds, not only in the city, but really people you'd hold up to anyone across in the nation, both from the judges, the ones who are on the bench, and then, you know, the Patrick Fitzgeralds of the world, the Bob Cliffords and the Dan Webbs, who have graciously offered their time year after year to be part of this. Just to see these guys in the same room in action is something to behold. It's really, really cool. And thank you guys for being here.
So we have Judge Anna DeMacopoulos. I was practicing this all day, Demacopoulos, and Christina Faeklis Adair, who is an attorney, who's going to be doing this. And first of all, I just want to, because the judging in this is, you got five judges on the bench for this particular trial.
Correct.
And the whole event is about a two-hour event, like that, maybe a few minutes less. Now, Do you guys leave and you go into a room and you decide what you're going to do, or do you each vote? How does that work?
So these trials are intended to be educational, and just like you said, legal junkies are all there watching. And it's a little bit different because we want it to be an educational process as well. So unlike a real trial where either a judge or a jury would be deciding the case, we actually do three ways. We are involving the spectator. So anyone who comes there is going to get a vote on whether or not and how they wish the trial to
end. That's like Twitter.
End.
That's not going to go well.
It goes phenomenally
it
well.
Does.
Everybody gets so engaged and so involved in it.
And they have little
each
scales
one of the
justice.
Jurors, we have esteemed jurors as well. Each one of the jurors will have an opportunity to give their verdict as well.
And Anna, you're going to be one of the jurors.
I'll be one
right?
of the jurors.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. She's going to hang this guy.
I might. We'll see.
And then each one of the judges actually gives their rendition. So it's not a unanimous. Everybody has their own opinion and voices it. And actually, the last vote that we take is the audience vote. So first the jurors will speak, then the judges will give their opinion, and then the audience will get a chance to vote.
Very interesting. And who's going to hang? All right, why don't you explain? Now, this is the trial of Megacles, right?
Correct.
So, Christina, explain now, who is Megacles and what did he do?
So Megacles is on trial, and he was an archon back in Athens. So we're back in Athens in 7th century B.C. He was one of 9 archons, which is closer to democracy than a sole ruler, and that's kind of an important fact.
An archon is like a leader.
Yeah,
but he's
they were
he's,
rich, so that adds something.
So it's like
to
an
it.
Oligarch is what you're, yeah, what you're
exactly.
saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So okay.
They didn't refer to themselves as oligarchs, though.
They just
refer
do.
To them as elite leaders.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is one of our problems, though. Now they don't see themselves as oligarchs. Okay. And what did this archon do?
So a man named Kylon and his men, they were called tyrants. And tyrants didn't have the same negative connotation as we know of today. But they were tyrants, and they wanted to take over Athens. Interestingly, tyrants were more for the common folk. So Kylon had a father-in-law that was a successful tyrant in Megara, which is another city-state in Greece. And Kylon wanted to do the same thing with Athens. So Kylon and his men invaded Athens, and Megacles was the military leader in charge. So they tried to invade Kylon and his men, but they were unsuccessful. So what they did, and this is another key fact of this trial, is they retreated to the Temple of Athens. And the Temple of Athens was a sacred place, the most sacred ground in Athens, or Temple of Athena, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And so they were there. Megacles wanted them out. So what he did was he told Kylon and his men, listen, if you guys leave the Temple of Athena, I won't put you to death. I will give you a fair trial. And? That's what we're all asking for.
That's right. Yeah. And? Yeah.
I don't want to ruin it for everyone. Megacles, as these men were emerging out of the Temple of Athena, they tied themselves with a rope to the statue of Athena. And back then, you know, nothing was a coincidence. They always had signs from God.
As it is now.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing is a coincidence.
So this rope broke, and Megacles saw it as a sign that Kylon and his men were no longer protected by Athena, and he chose to kill them instead.
Oh boy.
So is he guilty of murder? Is that what we're coming to, or what are the charges against Megacles?
So the charges against Megacles are violating the sanctity of supplicants and subverting the laws of Athens.
They got those charges at Cook County too, by the way.
Same as Violetta.
Yeah, exactly.
Subverting the rules of Cook County.
Yeah, that is what we just did there. And the supplicant thing too, I think.
Yeah, that
for sure.
One applies.
By the way, since we have a judge and we have an attorney here, I think it's a good time to put her on trial. Just get this thing over with right now about her Saturday night.
Poor Violetta. She went out for her birthday, and we've been giving her a very hard time about it.
Judge, is it illegal to go into a men's room if you're a woman because you don't like that the women's line is too long?
I didn't even make it fully in.
On the radio.
You can't answer that.
No.
I didn't get really all the way in there anyway before they clothesline me.
Christina, I want to...
Did I just silence you?
Yeah. No, I want to know. What I wanted to do was, Christina, if you had to take a case, would you rather have the bar or the participant who went into the men's room who was a woman?
Probably the participant, just because it would be more fun.
Yeah. Okay.
It would be.
More
I like
of a challenge,
spirit.
Right? It's a challenge. Less likely. Yeah. All right. There
I like
you go.
That spirit because the men's lines are always, you know, shorter.
All right.
Sometimes you can't hold it.
I don't know how we get from 2,700 years ago to this. I don't know, but this is what's happening. Okay, so do you definitely, if you want to attend this trial, and it's Thursday night, Anna's going to be there.
Yes.
It's going to
Andrea
be.
Andrea Darlis will be there as well.
Right. Also on the jury.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. So
she's actually the moderator.
She's moderating.
Oh, she's moderating.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I was given bad information.
It just seems like a bunch of legal minds in the city. Will
really,
be there.
I mean, they really are.
If you are a courtroom drama junkie, this is the place to be. I mean, you will have, unless you're experiencing some tragedy in your life, you will never get to see these legal minds perform in the courtrooms. And so, this is an excellent point. This is an excellent opportunity to come see this live and watch some of the most talented lawyers, not only in our city, in the country.
Right. No question. Well, and they have fun with it too, as well as just they're brilliant, but they have fun with it too.
And let's face it. I mean, the Chicago legal community, pound for pound, you stack them up against any of the other major metropolitan areas, and into and including mm-hmm. Washington, D.C., you're going to get pound for pound the best lawyers right here. I don't think there's any mm-hmm. question about it. Some of the best and most enduring law has come from this district.
Yeah,
it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So let's look at it that way. And then you get to see. And there, if justice was done 2,700 years ago, we're going to find out on Thursday night if that's the case. All right.
We will.
NationalHellenicMuseum.org/trial to get tickets. Or you can call, I'm going to give you the number right here, 312-655-1234. That's 312-655-1234.
And can you go on the National Hellenic Museum website that's a good place to get tickets.
Right. Great. NationalHellenicMuseum.org.
Great.
All right. I know that's a big one right there. You just mm-hmm. Google that. I think that's the best
You'll
way to do it.
It.
You Google it, it'll be okay. And that's
it's really an amazing event. I can't stress it enough.
Judge, thank you so much for being with us. Christina,
thank you.
Appreciate it. And thank you for – and stick around because we are going to try Violetta. It's going to be very short. It's going to be one of those – it's
– innocent.
Yeah. No. This is gonna, I don't think so. Innocent isn't actually – I don't think a term of art. Not guilty would be the term of art. All right. Here we go. We got Martira going to tell us what's coming up at the top of the hour news.